available. Turn your Bible with me to the book of Isaiah, chapter number 11. Isaiah chapter 11. Isaiah chapter 11. And we will begin our reading from verse number 11. Isaiah 11, 11. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand again a second time to recover the remnant of his people that shall be led from Assyria and from Egypt and from Patros and from Cush and from Elam and from Shinar and from Hamath and from the islands of the sea. And he shall set up an ensign for the nations and shall assemble the outcasts of Israel and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. The envy also of Ephraim shall depart, and the adversaries of Judah shall be cut off. Ephraim shall not envy Judah, and Judah shall not vex Ephraim. But they shall fly upon the shoulders of the Philistines towards the west, and they shall spoil them of the east together, and they shall lay hold upon Edom and Moab, and the children of Ammon shall obey them. Verse 15 is my scripture of interest, and the Lord shall utterly destroy the tongue of the Egyptian sea, and with his mighty wind he shall shake his hand over the river, and shall smite it in his seven streams, and make men go on dry shod. Verse 16, and there shall be an highway for the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria, like as it was to Israel in the day that he came up out of the land of Egypt. Hallelujah. In verse 15, I'd like to draw your attention to a statement that God makes. He said he will utterly destroy the tongue of the Egyptian sea. You know, we were trying to establish yesterday how that altars have vocabulary, how that altars can speak, altars have a voice. And the moment you put a sacrifice on an altar, you have triggered its speakings in the realm of the spirit. And the speakings is according to the shekels of the sanctuary. The speakings are not natural speakings. The speakings are provocations in the realm of the spirit that cause spirit beings to utter words. When spirit beings utter words, those words have the ability to shape territories. When spirit beings utter words, those words have the capacity to shape destinies. When spirit beings utter words, they have the capacity to initiate several seasons in the lives of individuals, in the lives of a community, and indeed in the lives of nations. But the Bible is saying that God has the capacity to utterly destroy the tongue of the Egyptian sea. When altars speak, they can take advantage of the power of rivers. They can take advantage of the power of winds. They can take advantage of the weather and weaponize the weather, weaponize circumstances and situations to fight against you. They can weaponize and toxify your relationships. Your relationship with your wife can become toxic just because an altar is speaking. And if we do not learn the vocabulary of such speakings, we may not be able to detect the utterances that are spoken, and we may not realize that these are speakings. Now, what I want to do this evening, are you still with me? Please don't forget, because I know you want to forget. You are planning to forget. That's why I'm saying don't forget. When you dethrone an altar, do you remember that? You replace it with another one. If there was someone in your family that the devil conscripted to become the messenger of a certain spiritual gate, and that gate brought travail, it brought injury, it brought infirmity, it brought reproach, and you want to change all of that speaking, There must be a priest that will rise up and set up a different altar and bring a spirit that is more powerful than the spirit that they have invited through the demonic altar into the territory. Are you there? You are not following me. The same level of devotion that the spirit of darkness, the priest of darkness exercised in order to bring that demonic presence into the space will be the same level, same minimum level of devotion that the priest of light will need to bring to the table in order to bring a different speaking into the realm. Are you there? The moment you set up a counter altar, you set up a counter altar, what you have done is this. I know you are well aware that there can be no two captains in one ship. So if you bring a counter altar, the altars are going to wrestle. And the altar that is superior will take charge of the ship. No two altars that can govern a territory. If you bring a counter altar into the territory, bring a counter altar into the family, bring a counter altar into the community. That's why they are allergic in a witchcraft-oriented place. They are allergic to you planting a living church. Because what you are doing has the potential to undo everything they have built. And it doesn't matter how old the altar is. It can be an altar that has lasted for about 43 generations. We care not to know the history, where they went to import the spirit, where they got the articles that was used to build the altar. Don't even go into all those details. Just bring in a counter altar. When you bring in a counter altar into the space, expect something. Expect a fight. And this fight, this warfare, how many of you still remember the battle that took place between David and Goliath? What they did in that battle? Yes, Goliath was an established warrior, a renowned warrior from the time of his youth. And David was not even admitted even into the league of warriors at the time. But as a warrior as Goliath was, when he wanted to confront David, he began to curse David with the name of his gods. He did not depend on the capacity of his sword, neither did he depend on the capacity of his shield or his brute strength. He knows by experience that the easiest way to be sure of victory is to move the battle into the supernatural. So he came against David in the name of the gods that supported his sword. And David, understanding what was going on, knew he was no match if he tries to fight back as David. And what he did was that he came against him in the name of the Lord of hosts, whose armies he has divided. You see the difference between Goliath's presentation and David's presentation is that David added an infraction that Goliath had committed. So I come against you in the name of the Lord of hosts, whose armies you have pitched yourself against. So when the battle went into the realm of the supernatural, it was a fight of altars. It took the foolishness of catapult to finish the fight in the natural realm. May the Lord give you understanding. If you want to put to naught the workings of the altar of witchcraft that has been marginalizing the destinies of men in your family, then one from among you must become a priest of light. And he needs to go and check the devotion of the guy that is managing the priesthood of witchcraft that is in the clan. Because your life is going to be like that man. The way the man is devoted to the priesthood, the altar, that's how you are going to be devoted to the priesthood of life. Oh, if you ask me, I will tell you. I've had so many opportunities to sleep with so many women, apart from my wife. So many. One of the encouragements for which I will not stoop that low is because I know the kind of sacrifice, the kind of devotion that the priest that represented darkness in my family brought to the table. Even then themselves never slept with any woman that they did not marry. I'm talking of the righteousness of witchcraft. Oh my. I don't have time. I don't have time. So I will be fooling myself to think that I want to play the role of a priest to replace the speakings of that altar if I don't bring something better than what they presented. I'm operating a better covenant. There's nothing, no doubt about that. I'm operating a covenant that is choked with better promises. I'm operating a covenant that has better foundation. No doubt about that. But you see, the inconsistency of the priest can actually make the covenant null and void. And instead of you to become a harbinger of light, an instrument through which God begins to speak into the territory and to manipulate the territory into their original calling, the original ordination. Instead of me to be that, me myself will become a carrier of the symptoms of the altar that is manipulating my family. If you want to blot out the speakings of an altar, you must be ready to become the priest of a righteous altar. Just like darkness never argues with light when light shows up. That's how a demonic altar cannot argue with the authority of a righteous altar. Being a priest of an altar confers so much responsibility upon you. Hallelujah. And the reason for which I make the sacrifice is not for myself alone. I make the sacrifice because of my children. I make the sacrifice because of family members. I make the sacrifice so that the highway can be made and so that the possibilities of Israel traveling on dry ground can come to pass again. Anytime he blots out the tongue of the Egyptian sea, it causes the ransom to walk on dry ground. The pathway of destiny becomes clear. Everyone takes their journey. But if you see men going around in cycles, if you see giants and princes walk on foot and servants ride on horseback, then you need to know that there is an evil that has manifested itself under the sun. Hallelujah. Are you still with me? Okay, so I want to show us a few symptoms. Symptoms that are revelatory of the fact that a demonic altar is speaking. Genesis chapter 27, beginning from verse 15. Genesis chapter 27, beginning from verse 15. And Rebekah took goodly raiment of her eldest son Esau, which were with her in the house, and put them upon Jacob, her youngest son. And she put the skin of the kids of the goat upon his hands and upon the smooth of his neck, and she gave the savory meat and the bread which she has prepared into the hand of her son Jacob. And he came unto his father and said, "My father." And he said, "Here am I. Who art thou, my son?" And Jacob said unto his father, "I am Esau, thy firstborn. I have done as thou biddest me. Arise, I pray thee, sit and eat my venison, that thy soul may bless me." And Isaac said unto his son, "How is it that thou art found it so quickly, my son?" And he said, "Because the Lord thy God brought it to me." And Isaac said unto Jacob, "Come near, I pray thee, that I may feel thee, my son, whether thou be my very son Esau or not." And Jacob went near unto Isaac his father, and he felt him, and said, "The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are Esau's hands, and he discerned him not, because his hands were hairy as his brother Esau's hands, so he blessed him. Jump with me to verse 27. So he blessed him. 27 will give us an idea of part of the process. When he began to bless him, are you still there? When he began to proclaim the blessings upon him, some symptoms began to find expression in the supernatural realm. The symptoms that began to find expression are the things I want to share with us in a moment of time. And he came near and kissed him and smelled the smell of his raiment and blessed him and said, "See the smell of my son is as the smell of a field which the Lord has blessed." I hope you know at this time, that smell he was talking about was not a natural smell. I hope you know at this time that the smell, he spoke about a smell. That smell is a product of the utterances that he was placing on that guy. He never stopped speaking over that guy until he was able to pick up that smell. Whether a person is blessed or not is dependent on what kind of spiritual smell the person carries. Whether your path has been blotted out or whether the light shines upon your ways will be first determined by your spiritual aroma. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah. All right. We went to Lagos. We wanted to apply for the Schengen visa. That's the visa that gives you access to the whole of most of Europe. So we went there. We did the application. And because we are traveling people, we are missionaries, our passports cannot stay in an embassy for too long. If it stays more than 4 days, we'll apply to you and say, "You give us our passport back. Thank you. We are no longer interested in your visa." So we gave them, we did the application, and for more than 4 days, we did not have a response. So we wrote them back and said, "Oh, we are sorry. Please just send in our passports. Next time when we have the time, we can come and apply again." So they said we should come to the collection office at 4 p.m. in the evening. So we arrived there a few minutes after 3, so that we'll be on time. And they gave us a place to sit. So while we sat, we began to watch people that were applying for visas. And there was this guy. He was on the line. And he came. His turn came for him to do the application, fill the thing. It was time for him to pay. I don't know what happened to his ATM card. The thing was not producing money. It's all right. Let him go and withdraw the money cash. And that's an option, a viable option. He ran out. And then when he put the ATM card in the ATM machine swallowed the card. He came again. He had borrowed some money from some people. He came. And then he went there. And when the guy at the counter counted the money, he discovered it was not complete. It was 11,000 naira short. His son had entered the director's office, had entered the accountant's office. He had entered. He left the application. He ran after his son and arrested him and put him back. And when he came back, his reality, as in he's been 11,000 naira short, was still with him. So when I saw the way he was suffering, I asked Philip, I said, "Philip, take my ATM card, go and pay for the guy's application. Let it be that he will share a testimony that God sent somebody to interface with him. So Philip took my ATM card, he rushed there, and by the moment Philip arrived at the desk, the man at the desk said, "I don't close it." The man on the counter told him, "We have seen this type of thing before, that he should go and organize like 22 days of dry fasting." That they've had people like that have come, that he's a spiritual, he's from home, he's from his village, that they have refused him from. You don't understand what I'm talking about. Do you know someone that came into the place talking with suit and tie, but by the time it was 4 o'clock, he was out. And even though a Samaritan was there to pay for you, that goodwill did not translate to anything. You know what? It was a smell. This smell can be a smell of favor. This smell can be a smell of reproach. And the moment people see you, they lock up completely. And you cannot explain it. This is the reason. You know, when we counsel people around heartbreaks, relationships that went bad and all of that, I found a few of them. That the reason why the relationship went bad was not the girl's fault, was not the guy's fault. It was just because one of the members of the relationship had a smell of reproach. I've seen that smell of reproach close doors on all kinds. So if you are in this hall or you are under the sound of my voice and the story of your life in the area of relationships has been closed doors, broken relationships, all kinds of stuff, even opportunities, employment and things like that, you can be very qualified. Even the people on the panel, they testify that you are more qualified than the rest of the people that came in search of the job and give you good points, raise your hopes, and then you walk out of the place hoping that you have a phone call, an email, a text message, and you wait on end without a response. Then you will realize that the race is not to the swift and the battle is not to the strong. Are you there? There's something beyond the perfect presentation that you made that is still forestalling the entry into the opportunity that was advertised. I sent Philip, I said, "Philip, you know what? Let us stop the dilemma of this young man." Because I asked him a few questions, and he lied to me, and I picked it. I knew that's the easiest thing. If you have the gift of word of knowledge, one of the easiest things you can detect is if someone is lying. So he lied to me, and the fact that he lied to me did not stop my heart that was open for him. I had two questions that I would have asked him, and I would have confronted him with the fact that he was lying. But there was no need for that. The reason why I even spoke was because I just wanted to tell him that we are involved now. Okay? So take my car. When they got to the table, man said, "Unfortunately, 1 second ago, my desk, it closed." Those guys were there from 9 a.m. in the morning. I came to bail him out at 4 o'clock. And my goodwill did not translate to any miracle. ATM card was swallowed. All kinds of things happened in one day. The people in the place say, "We've seen this thing. Don't worry, don't worry. What you need is 22 days of drive. Very dry fast. You can help secure the message of the Lord to bring salvation to the situation." That's how we're told of someone that came from Abuja down to Lagos. And while he was trying to file the application, he now realized that he left his passport at home. So they told him, "No, don't worry. See, we've seen people like you before. What you need is a very long fasting. My son smells like a field that the Lord has blessed. It's just like a vulcanizer is putting air into your tire. Then he puts it to a certain point. Then he takes there some things that they use to gauge it. Then he puts it on it to gauge it. The guy was prophesying, blessing upon this guy, was prophesying. And he didn't stop prophesying until he could smell. The smell was the gauge that could reveal that the utterances have reached the realm of the spirit. If you have that negative smell here, it will be broken before the end of this service. Amen. And those that are watching online, if you carry that smell of reproach in the realm of the spirit, oh my God. Tonight we come to wage war against the speaking of altars so that the Lord himself will arise and blot out every tongue that is speaking over your life in the name of Jesus Christ. Number two, turn your Bible with me to the book of Psalms. Psalm 1 verse 1. Psalm 1 verse 1. So in Psalm 1, verse 1, it says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. And this is the scripture I'd like us to analyze. And he shall be, are you with me? So he's just saying that this man that does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, this man that does not stand in the way of sinners, this man that does not sit in the seat of the scornful, this man whose delight is in the law of the Lord his God. These are the symptoms of the speakings of blessings. So if blessings are speaking over your life, you are going to find these symptoms on your life. So the opposite of the things you will see here are the kind of things that you will see if something negative is what is responsible for the speaking. Is that clear? It shall be like a tree that is planted by the rivers of water. It shall be like a tree that is in the midst of supply. The first symptom is that it will bring forth its fruit in its season. It will bring forth is fruit in its season. Please underline in its season. In its season. Yes, productivity is a sign. Fruitfulness is a sign that blessings are speaking over your life. But stay with me. Don't rush it. Don't rush it. The productivity and the blessings is going to be consistent with your season. I need to say something quickly. We labored in this ministry, for instance, for 14 years before we had the breakthrough. Because it will bring forth fruit in your season. Pineapple tree, pawpaw tree is different from mango. Mango is different from cocoa. It took us 14 years before we entered into the realm of abundance, where it became very evident that God has given us much more than enough. Now, so one of the things the devil does, even if there is a blessing on your life, there is a season for it to begin to speak. So what the devil does is that he comes to manipulate you to think that it is becoming too long. And the thing about priesthood is this: the moment you stop putting wood on that altar, the moment you stop doing the things, for instance, that brought you into lamplight, You have made an agreement with the devil that you want to go downside. A lot of people's commitment have been cut off because they felt that they have labored for so long that they have not seen results. The first thing I need to ask you, the area of your labor, is it did God lead you there? If God led you there and you are doing the labor the way God prescribed, you know, I told you the formula for prosperity is God's man in God's place, doing God's work in God's way, and at God's time will not lack God's support. So when I feel that it's as if I'm laboring and there's no results to show, I check. Did I call myself or God called me? Okay, he called me. Is this what he asked me to do? I check my books again. Yes, this is what he asked me to do. Is this the way he asked me to do it? I check my encounters with, yes, this is the way he asked me to do it. Then it means that in God's time, I will see God's support. Your walk with God is a walk of faith. But I'm telling you now that our own due season as a ministry was 14 years. That means we are in a covenant cycle with God that runs for 14 years. In the next 14 years, after the first 14 years, are you there? Break again into a major dimension. Especially if we don't stop doing the things that God has called us to do. So I just wanted to add that balance. He will bring forth fruit in the season. Is that clear? His leaves also shall not wither. I checked wither in the Hebrew. And the word I found is fade. He will not fade. I hope you know how it looks like when you fade in ministry. It's not everybody whose voice you don't hear that die. A lot of people are still alive. But many of them have faded. Many of them are alive as though they are not alive. And the Bible is saying, as long as a blessing is hanging over your head, you will not fade. I was expecting you to say amen to that. I said, you will not fade. One of the very clear symptoms of the fact that someone is laboring under destructive utterances in the spirit realm is that he begins to fade. He begins to fade. The Bible calls the glory that is available in the New Testament on the basis of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ as a glory that excels. You see, in the Old Testament, the glory that Moses had that came upon his face when he went to commune with God for 40 days and 40 nights, that glory that was upon his face, that the children of Israel could not look steadfastly at his face, was a glory that was fading away. Right, so the glory that was in the Old Testament, if there was glory at all, it's a glory that is fading away. God is not committed to supporting and sustaining that glory because he has a better plan for the manifestation of his glory, which is the New Testament system. And so the New Testament system is a glory system that excels. Oh my God. And this is not influenced by old age. This is not... Do you understand what I'm talking about? The glory excels. So it is counter to the New Testament provision for a man's life to begin to fade. You should excel in glory. That means the way we see you today, we know that you will not have a better yesterday. That your tomorrow will be better than today. And next tomorrow will be better than tomorrow. It is a glory that excels. It's a glory that excels. I remember those days, you know, I've always been a very loud preacher. Especially in my family. I wouldn't want, there were people in my family that were bent on mocking anyone that was a follower of Jesus Christ. And if you decide that that is your assignment, your calling, I will ensure that if I'm present there, what I will say will not make you go home with victory. But you know what? A time came when there was no need for me to talk. The glory had excelled. I tried it once, to the glory of God anyway. Are you there? And I said this with no pride, with no pride. I clicked our surname on Google. It was my name that came out. So there was no need to talk again. There was no need. The critics, they faded away. All that, hey, this preacher man, huh? He is the greatest ambassador of the entire clan. The glory excels. He excels. The people that were trying to make us feel funny for being followers of Jesus Christ, today they are hiding their faces. Because the glory excels. If you give God time, He will walk on your life. He will manifest you with the brightest colors. Oh my God. Oh, it will excel. It will excel. It will excel. To excel. One day they say someone was sick in the family and they send me a message. Somebody is sick, that if it is true that I have this power, why is it that I will not come and heal the person? I say, oh, the people I pray for, they are in church. If you are so desperate for healing for this, our brother, bring him to church. That's where I operate. You have taken him to shrines to see people, even the ones on the mountain. You took him there. What? It means you have the grace to move. Move in our direction. Come here. Come. But the priest does not go that way. You bring the afflicted. You have moved to how many native doctors? The situation grew worse. It's obvious you don't have a mobility problem. No, you don't have it. You were in strange places. And instead of the matter improving, it grew worse. Why do you think now that this priest will leave his own altar and bring the services to your doorpost? When you know how to move. Hallelujah. So when I said that, they are still looking at their pride and measuring it, whether they can accommodate that in their pride. Oh my God. If that pride is still there, you don't need me. When you die to it, then you come back. When I say Jesus is Lord, you say, Amen! It's a glory that excels. Not a glory that fades away. His leaves also shall not wither. Imagine on my wedding day, someone came and said, ah, if I had told him, he wouldn't have allowed me come all this way to marry here. I kept quiet. You are talking because you have a mouth, not because you have what to say. But if I reply him like that, you say, hey, even we came for your wedding, you did not even... I kept quiet. I kept... Many years have passed. Even they themselves have said, ah, you have the best home. Because we've not come to your home to settle any quarrel. You know? You see, human beings are designed to talk. You know this thing? The name is called mouth. It talks. And most times it talks more evil than good. So don't take it seriously. There's a glory that excels, that even talkatives will withdraw their statement. It's a glory that excels. It's a risk to fade away. Because when you fade, you become an object of talk. In syndicates, in backbiting sessions, But when you excel, the backbiters become mute. God will make you excel. Say, his leaves also shall not wither. You saw somebody that was rising like a light. Then after a time, you look for him, you cannot find him. And he did not die. Something was speaking. That thing that was speaking is what began to manifest. And just in case you have this rise and fall syndrome in your life, those symptoms are around you. This night, as we call upon the Lord, he will blot out the tongue of the Egyptian seed. The tongue that has been speaking will be blotted out in the name of Jesus Christ. His lips also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Prosperity is one of the evidences. Doing well in anything you do. If you are doing ministry, you do well. If you are in transportation business, you do well. If you are in politics, you do well. Hallelujah. Prosperity is one of the evidences that the altar that has spoken over you, he spoke blessing. Whatsoever he lays his hands upon to do. I forgot to read a scripture. Let's rewind. We'll go back to that number one point that I mentioned. Are you still there? You know, I mentioned a smell, which can be a smell of favor or a smell of reproach, as the case may be. I want to add another scripture to that so that you can have a full perspective. Jeremiah chapter 48 verse 11 was the second scripture I was supposed to read in that regard. Jeremiah chapter 48 verse number 11. Moab had been at ease from his youth. He had settled on his lees and has not been emptied from vessel to vessel, neither has he gone into captivity. Therefore, his taste remaineth in him, and his scent is not changed. He never saw captivity. It's enjoyment all the way. So he's what? Wait. His taste remained in him, and his scent never changed. If God needs to allow you suffer a little so that your scent can change, may he do it in the name of Jesus. If you remain on the lees, remain in your comfort zone, your scent will never change. And it is God's intention to change your scent. And he will change your scent this evening in the name of Jesus. Are you there? So, number one, it says productivity, which is bringing forth fruit in season. Bringing forth fruit in season. All right. I'm yourself with a mic. I want to interview you. Bringing forth fruit in season. When did you receive the vision for Deborah? No, sit down. You run a ministry, Deborah Intercessory Ministry. When did you receive it?
2004.
When was the first time you tried to implement it?
Same year.
Did it succeed?
No.
Good. Because what we are talking about, there's a difference. Are you there?
Yes.
You are not there. See, what I read here is bringing forth is fruit. There's a difference between fruitfulness and success. What I'm talking about is not success. What I'm talking about is fruitfulness. And there's a big difference between success and fruitfulness. In success, you use God to achieve your goal. In fruitfulness, you allow God to produce his intended fruit through your life. Oh, you are quiet. It seems my definition is conflicting. In success, you use God. You use the grace of God. You use the will of God to achieve your goal. But in fruitfulness, God uses you to bear the fruit of his original intention. Can you say that? What I'm talking about tonight is not success. What I'm talking about tonight is fruitfulness. Someone might drive a Lamborghini into this compound. And many of you might say, wow, this is a big guy. I will not be one of the ones that will say this is a big guy. Because if he cannot back up his Lamborghini story with a process that God used to bring him to that level, he's a thief. We have celebrated thieves in church. We have celebrated thieves as pastors. Pastors that stole thieves. God is not a thief, and God doesn't raise thieves. Are you there? Somebody just took off like a tornado. Came back with gold, plenty of gold. And people were saying, he has made it. As many as will join themselves with a man without a history, a process, have accepted hell to be the fate of their soul. What I'm talking about is fruitfulness. So God in heaven, Jehovah, God, gave somebody an assignment. And the person tried to fulfill the assignment by herself. And it failed. It is God that gave the assignment. So what happened and how did you go about it?
So since it didn't work, I just let it be.
Let it be. Then yeah. When did you pick it up again?
We went for Mommy Changeless program in Otuko.
Okay.
That was, I think, 2000 and either 16 or 17.
Okay.
And
now, check. They gave the vision in 2004. Then she tried to accomplish it in the flesh. It did not work. It failed woefully. Then she allowed the thing. God, now your own. If you want to bring it to pass, do it at your own time. Then when she went to Otukpo, yes, what happened to you?
So the third day of the meeting, he was admonishing us that as you go back, join yourself two by two, three by three, and begin to pray for your land. So immediately she was saying that, the Holy Spirit brought to my remembrance.
Now, stop. Calculate it. The difference between 2017, 2009, that's how many years? 13 years in between. God allowed it to lie fallow just to prove to you that he doesn't need the strength of an ox or the legs of a man. He gave you a vision. He's not even allowing you to attempt it. Leave it in the grave. When he's willing, he'll resurrect it. Because a lot of us know the strength of the flesh too much. And most of what we call successes are reactions that came from the flesh. I glide by the Holy Ghost. So I'm not under pressure to impress anybody. I only impress Jesus. And Jesus doesn't put you under pressure. Jesus. No. They say, are you aware this pastor has bought this car? I will just know that for bringing that information, you can no longer have my ear. You have been deleted from being one of the people that can speak to me. Are you there? God himself gave an assignment. He will not allow you to fulfill the assignment the way you want, because God's man must be in God's place, must do God's work in God's way and at God's time. 2017, they were speaking in a meeting, and the thing that was buried in the grave, it revived. Yes? Then how did you respond?
So he brought to my remembrance, he said, that intercessory network I spoke to you about in school, because at then I was in university. He said, now is the time.
He so, bringeth forth fruit. How? Now is the time. And then when you begin to do it at that time, you will now find grace for fruitfulness. It will start producing results. Because it was not by power. You wanted to accomplish it by power initially. It did not work. Yes? Then you started.
So immediately I came back, because it was like, as she said it and I had that remembrance, it was like that urgency was planted in my heart and I left with fire. So when I came back, immediately, that was July, in August I started. I knew that I couldn't waste any more time.
How many women came for the dry fasting?
No, we didn't start with the dry fast, we started with
this last dry fasting.
I think
Kwadu.
About 500 and...
Now, 500 women, some of them, their husbands came to drop them. And yes, the reason why they were dropping them was because of dry fasting.
In fact, men say, go for that dry fast. What are you doing at home?
Some men evicted their wives from home. Go for that. 500 women. Do you know that two women cannot stay in one room? They will fight before they go. Two women can't stay in one room. They will fight. And then you now bring 500 women together. The kind of spiritual energy they generated. When I came back, I passed through the location where they held that prayer. And I touched an angelic being that was standing there. Hallelujah. Finally, come with me to the book of Genesis chapter 4. In Genesis chapter 4, we see a judgment, a verdict. Genesis chapter 4 is the first ever scripture in the entire Bible that shows that there is a court of competent jurisdiction that is domiciled in the spirit realm. This court is ordered, is the basis, is it executes God's justice system. And I don't want to trouble you with the case in hand. The case in hand is the case of the death of Abel, murdered by the hand of his brother Cain. Anytime blood is shed, an altar is raised. Anytime there is a sacrifice, as we continue, I'm going to show you that any problem that you have, if you understand priesthood very well, if you understand altars very well, you can solve it. Just if you know the sacrifice to offer. Once you know the sacrifice to offer, you can solve any problem whatsoever. The wisdom of knowing what sacrifice to offer is the skill behind the altar. The practice of priesthood is as powerful as the prescription that you have from God as to how a matter can be dealt with. And there are different kinds of sacrifices. There are financial sacrifices. There are prayer sacrifices. There are goodwill sacrifices. Like looking for 20 people in this congregation that are less privileged. And then you ensure that each and every one of them is satisfied. Now let me tell you something. That is what I do. I know the sacrifices to offer. Just say, okay, this problem that I'm in now, I need to relieve 50 people of their pressing needs. So I look for somebody. In fact, as I'm coming out from my place of prayer, people will be coming to me with their needs. From that prayer that I need to satisfy 50 needy people, they will just start coming and I'll be meeting them and keeping records until the 50th one, then they will stop coming. When the people go, they'll say, our pastor is a good man. They don't know that I did not do it because of them. Meanwhile, I'm a good man. Just, I tell you, I'm a good man. But it was the Spirit of Christ that led me to do the things I did. The one that was good in that case was not me. It was the Spirit of Christ that was me. Do you understand that? Yes, I know I'm a good man. But what made me do the things for which they say I'm good? It was the Spirit of Christ that did. I was in Tanzania. They put me in a hotel close to a beach and I just came out of the back and began to walk on the beach, just praying in tongues. There were people like this, I couldn't see them. And I strayed away from the hotel. Consumed in the Holy Ghost. Consumed. And then Jesus came and stood by my side. And I told him, I have a concern. He said, what is that? I said, won't you give me the power to raise the dead? And the power to reverse autism. Do you know autism? You don't know it because it's not here. Oh my God. I went to Europe. Autistic children everywhere. In fact, one of our members has three autistic sons. If those of you that study probability, what is the probability that three children from a woman's womb will be autistic? In my own opinion, it cannot be natural. Three children. Oh my God, you need an army to take care of those children. One is going like this. One say, Jesus. That's it. In my own time, the greatest disorder I ever saw that hit my heart and took peace from me was when I saw that devil of autism. In London, I said, all right, let me go pray for the children, the apartment. So I left the pulpit, I went. There were like 50 children there. About 12 of them were autistic. What? I left that place with a prayer point. And when the Lord came, I said, won't you give me this power? How long will I wait? You know what he told me? Send 5 million to that pastor. I said, I accept. It's by sacrifice. You don't understand it. Sometimes that is, you might decide that you give us financial sacrifice. He said, send 5 million to that pastor. And then I will raise the cripple. Now, wait. Let's analyze that. The request is, give me the power to raise the dead and the authority to reverse autism. Then he says, send 5 million to this pastor and I will raise the cripple. Then he left. That was when I discovered I had strayed away from the hotel. So I began to go back and to analyze this answer. Okay, so the 5 million you said I should give the pastor is the sacrifice. I get that. How does raising a cripple, how does it fit into this? Then it occurred to me that the raising of the cripple would be a sign that he has answered me. So I traced my way back. I had two sessions left. The session of that evening, I came with all my might that I will find cripple to raise. No cripple rose that day. So I went back and said, hey, Oga, are you saying, because I've given the 5 million, are you saying that there was a problem with the seed I sowed? That was why you found fault. And he didn't answer. And when he doesn't answer me, it means I am asking the wrong question. On Sunday night, which was the last night, we had Sunday service somewhere. I was tired. Then we just came back. We dressed up. If there was a service, I would have missed. It was that day. I was tired. So I just came and sat somewhere. And then when I came, they were shouting, woo! And they brought their traditional garment. I began to wear. If they know how tired I was, they gave me a shield. They gave me, and then they started dancing that I should come on. So I was doing like this. When we finished all of that, then Theophilus began to minister. As Theophilus ministered, then the angel just touched me. He touched me here. Like that was a day that the anointing was so strong that I didn't need to preach. And when I cried, five crippled people started walking. Five crippled people. One of them was crippled for 27 years. He walked in that place. He walked in that place. So when I went back, I said, have mercy on me. Have mercy. Have mercy. So, you know what I'm looking for now? I told you I've been studying raising the dead in the Bible. the way Jesus raised the dead, the circumstances. The reason why I'm studying it is because that is what God wants me to begin to do now. That's what He wants me to begin to do. He brings forth His fruit in His season. Now let me finish with this quickly. The immoral man, equip yourself with a microphone. You will come and this point, the first point is that scent of reproach. Remove it. Second point you need to remove is the possibility of fading. Remove it. And then blot out the tongue of the Egyptian sea. Now, this is a court system. Are you still with me? This is a court system. Cain and Abel. Cain had murdered Abel, and his blood was spilled. And unknown to Cain, an altar was created. A sacrifice was done. And the voice of that sacrifice traveled into the realm of the spirit. Now, I don't have time for the whole teaching. I just have time to show you the speaking. The altar produced some speaking. Yeah? And that's in verse 11. The altar produced some speaking. It's the speaking that I want to draw your attention to. Because that's the subject of this evening. And now thou art cursed. This curse that came upon Cain did not come from the natural realm. It came from the supernatural realm. It means that through an altar, a man can be cursed. Thou art cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy blood as blood out of thy hand. Next verse. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. Do you see that lack of productivity is a product of speaking? So if there's anybody here that is married, a lady that is trusting God for the fruit of the womb, this is a good night for you, because the Bible says that none shall cast their young. None shall be barren in the land. Productivity is a sign of God's involvement. Fruitfulness is a sign of God's involvement. And anything that comes to stand against that reality, we are going to wage war against it tonight. He said, when thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shall thou be in the earth. A wanderer, a purposeless. When you see somebody that is clueless, that is purposeless, that is just moving around, going around in circles, you know what? Look for a way and arrest him. There's something speaking into his life. I saw one gifted man, so gifted. So I called him. I was trying to help. Meanwhile, it was obvious that his mom had raised an altar over him. And that was the reason why he couldn't stay in one place. So, I asked him, what do you want? He said, he wants a car. I said, it's done. I said, what else do you want? He said, he wants like 500,000. I said, it's done. Done? I said, yes, done. Then we went and got the car. Gave him 500,000. That was only enough to keep him seated on one spot for 4 months. These two things could only keep him down for how many months? After 4 months, for many years, I've not seen him. Meanwhile, I was led to do what I did. Oh, you are not with me. The curse of a vagabond was upon him. A vagabond is a man that doesn't see the possibility of fulfilling his destiny anywhere on earth. So he's always moving. It's always moving. Stay in one place. Stay and labor. Don't be afraid of labor. Stay. A fugitive and a vagabond shall that be. Go on. And Cain said unto the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth. Can you see that? A vagabond has been expelled from the earth. You still see him on the earth, but he has been expelled. His destiny cannot be established on any place on the planet. and from thy face shall I be hid. And I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth. And it shall come to pass that everyone that findeth me shall slay me. Next verse. And the Lord said unto him, therefore, whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain. Sometimes when altars speak, it gives people marks. Immoral man, these are the matters that your prayer will address at this time.